Well, here we are again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining in, and thank you for honoring our Lord to get in His Word and study what His Word has to say, because it's our life. The Bible says, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. God has magnified His Word above His name. So if the Lord counts His Word that important, then we ought to also, shouldn't we? Yes, we should. So getting back into our study today, this is, by the way, I want to thank you for just joining in along with me in studying this and putting up with my unlearned type of teaching. I'm not your most intelligent, educated, scholarship, whatever. But one thing I do is I love God's Word and I love my Lord, and I'm genuine as far as with you. I wouldn't want to say anything in the world to hurt you or mess up your walk. I want to encourage you and exhort you to continue in our faith and to get into that Word, because God's Word is what does everything in our life. It helps our thinking. It helps our walk. It helps our behavior. It helps. It does everything. God's Word lives. It liveth and abideth forever. The idea is to get yourself to believe God's Word. To believe it. We do believe it, but we need to believe it more. There's many times when the Lord in the Scriptures, in the Gospels, when He was moving about with His apostles, He would tell them, where is your faith? If you only believe, if thou believest. I mean, He said that a lot of times, you remember? And we're not any different. It takes time to put our entire faith and trust and everything in the Lord, because this world and the flesh and the devil's always trying to steal it from us and to make us doubt it. And this ain't so. This is a lie. The Lord's lying to you. The Bible's not real. Blobbity, blabbity, blabbity, blab. But when we get together and we study God's Word, we encourage one another, and we exhort one another to continue in the faith, to continue. Just don't quit. Don't ever quit. Don't you dare quit. Discipline yourself. There's going to be many times that you're going to sit down and you're going to actually look. You're going to look forward. It's not going to be any labor in you sitting down and looking forward to a lesson and learning something from God's Word. The Lord says it makes a difference to Him when somebody is searching in the Scriptures and reading His Word, and it's in his heart, and he wants to know and wants to understand. Sometimes we sit down and read God's Word, and it's like pulling teeth or pulling a jackass out of the middle of a field. I mean, it is just takes everything you got just to sit down, because the enemy's fighting you so hard. That's the same thing. There's not been one time that I can think of that I haven't sat down at this desk and prepared this study to get ready to put it on this recording, and the enemy fights me every single time, tooth and nail. But after it's over and done with, I have more joy than I can express, that I was glad that it happened. So I don't know what exactly I'm trying to tell you, is that you're not in a super duper classroom here with an educated scholarship DDRFPP behind my name and all that kind of business, all that kind of jazz. I'm just a plain old fella that's been born again, and by the grace of God, He saved me. And He's been keeping me for over 40 years now, and His mercy and His grace has been been wonderful and prompt and there when I needed it, and even when I didn't need it, or when I didn't want it, put it that way. God's been very kind to me, and just want to share some of that with you and share what He has taught me. He set some time aside in my life that I could just be with Him and study His Word. And I'm not saying I know more than anybody, because there's a lot of folks out there who know God's Word better than I do. But what I have learned, I want to share with you. So let's get on back into this. We're talking about doctrine. This is lesson number 4B, and we call it D3. All right, doctrine. It's a third lesson in the letter D that we're studying. Now, what is doctrine? It's we went through the definitions, and only the definitions, on the last recording, and it's a belief accepted as authoritative. Remember? Doctrine is what you believe because of your final authority. You have a final authority, remember? And who your final authority is, or what your final authority is going to establish your doctrine for you. What you believe and why you believe things to be and not to be. What is right and what is wrong. What's up and what's down. What's left and what's right. Well, you notice what the world's trying to do. The world's trying to take all that away. They're trying to bring it all together, and let's all get together. We're all the same. We're not different. There's nothing different. We're all the same. We all believe the same thing. Relativity. Everything's relative. It relates to each other. You know, what you believe is what you believe, and it's right, and what I believe in is right, blah, 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 blah. And all that sort of stuff. It's the act of teaching, learning knowledge, the truths of the gospel in general. Now, Jesus Himself spoke the word doctrine. Doctrine is a scriptural word. It is a Bible word. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 2, "And He taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in His doctrine." You see, when Jesus was here, He didn't just kind of flippantly walk around and things just happened to pop up and everything else. The Lord had a plan of what He was going to teach. As far as the Jews went, He had a plan. And as far as bringing in the Gentiles, that's us, and this new covenant and this new salvation, the Lord had a plan that He was laying down that was going to be in effect when He ascended back to the Father. And it did, because here we are. And it's working. It's working because the Lord set it in order. So we know what doctrine is now. We know the fundamental of what doctrine is, okay? But we're putting it in the category of Christendom, of walking with the Lord and the Word of God. Doctrine. Okay, well, what is our doctrine? Our doctrine is the Word of God. And what saith the Lord? That's our doctrine. Okay, and there are doctrinal truths, things that are nailed down in the Scriptures that are not changeable. We do not change them because God says for us. It's something that the Lord has taught us that is nailed down, our doctrine. And we believe it, and we're not turning from it, and we're not changing it, and we're not, well, some people are, but we're not changing it. And we're not going to believe it all the way to the end. And that's what we live by. And that's where we get our principles and our behavior and our everything about us, character, our dignity, our integrity. We get everything from our doctrine, what we believe. Okay? And the Lord said that we all think the same thing. The Lord never said that one, as far as born-again Christians go in the bride of Christ, we're not supposed to have 40 different Bibles, and we're not supposed to have 40 different beliefs, and we're not supposed to have 40 different opinions about things. We're all supposed to be of the same mind. Now, what are y'all going, all them people out there that are saying, well, I think he ought to, this word ought to have been this, and blabbity, blabbity, and all this kind of gobbledygook going on, and confusing the body of Christ. What are you going to do with that verse? Let us all be of the same mind. Hmm? I don't know what you did with that verse, but be interesting to see if it's changed or not or something like that. But anyway, brothers and sisters, don't get involved with all that kind of gobbledygook. It's a waste of your life and a waste of your walk and a waste of your time in that body serving the Lord, chasing after what is God's Word. Don't you know what God's Word is? Don't you know where it is? It's right there in your hands. Doesn't the Holy Ghost witness to you what His Word is? The Bible says He does, that He testifies of what His Word is. He said, you shall know the doctrine. You shall know. Do you know? Then don't change. Don't get away from it. Don't let anybody talk you out of God's Word, no matter what. Let your belief be your belief when the Lord gave it to you and told you what to believe when you was born again and He began starting teaching you and God the Holy Ghost came in you and started dwelling, started teaching you. Everything was fresh and everything was good and everything was right and everything was truth. It still is. God didn't change. And don't you change. Believe what you believed from the beginning. You don't take truth that you have learned. And then when you learn another truth, kick out the truth that you knew before and replace it with this one. You don't do it that way. The way you do it is the things from the time you were born again, the truths that you've been learning, you stack truth upon truth. When I was born again, I didn't know that much, but things that I learned, I stacked on top of each other and kept them. I didn't discard any of them. And now that you're growing older and older and older and you're learning more in depth in the Word of God and the Lord's revealing and giving you new revelation about things and you're learning like we're doing together right now, you take them truths and stack them upon the other ones. You do not discard any of them. And you sure don't take them out and replace them with false stuff, ever. We are talking about doctrine here, so we'll get back into doctrine, okay? I don't know why the Lord wanted you to know that, but it's something I keep reminding myself of all the time. Man, I went through a time and almost gave up. The devil almost snatched my faith away from me for a while because of that, this business about all these 30-something and 200 different translations and blobbity-blabbity and all that kind of blab. Man, if I ain't got a God that can give me His words and tell me they're His words and stick to them, if I have a God that changes over 200 different versions and tries to trick me in that way, I wouldn't have nothing to do with that God because He's a shyster. He's not worth serving. He's not worth worshiping. God doesn't do that kind of stuff, folks. God does not give you His Word and then change it up and tell you you need to know two or three different languages to understand and get the revelation from His Word. What kind of stupid thing would that be? That would be very unfair of God to do to us. God would be playing a trick on you and fooling with you and messing with you like a joke. Instead of the seriousness of His Word, heaven and hell. You see, don't get involved in all that mess, and don't let nobody talk you into it. Anybody that comes up to you and tells you that God has made a mistake or God is a get away from them fools. Because they're going to answer for that kind of trash. Okay? And if you've been in that battle or you're in that battle, get to the scriptures that you had when you got saved and God the Holy Ghost told you, or when God saved you, He gave you His Word. Okay? Don't get in that fight and that battle and all that politicking and all that kind of stupid, idiotic stuff. It wastes your life. All right? Just study. Just study to show thyself approved unto God. Be mighty unfair of God to tell us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Okay, God, I want to be approved from You. I want to do the things that are pleasing in Your sight. Okay, well, get in My Word and study to show thyself approved. Okay, Lord, where is Your Word? Well, there's 200, 300 translations out there. You're just going to have to figure it out, Thurman. That might be your God. That's not my God. That's not my God. When I stay right here with this King James Bible, You know what? When I stay right here and I've been that way, that Bible was around when I didn't even know anything about God. When I heard about a Bible or a church when I was a youngster, when I was a boy, there wasn't nothing but the King James Bible around. Nobody ever talked about that kind of stuff. Okay? And, you know, the Lord has been very kind to me to keep me out of the middle of that foolishness that's going on in the world. That's the devil's business. Don't get involved in it. All right, doctrine. Here we go. Today we're going to get into some prerequisites for one's doctrine. In other words, there are some things that are going to be required of you as a prior condition to call something your doctrine. You can't just say, well, that's my doctrine. There has to be some things that are put in place in your mind and in your heart before you can call something your doctrine, okay? And anybody else? Well, you say, what are you talking about, Brother Thurman? Well, for instance, let's just go right on into it, okay? One prerequisite for one's doctrine is that you have to believe what you call your doctrine. One has to be, it has to be one's belief. You can't say something is your doctrine if you don't believe it. Let me ask you a question. You're in this study, that proves a lot to me, and you're disciplining yourself and honoring the Lord and studying these studies and including yourself in learning. What do you believe? You call something your doctrine. We've been over that since the last lesson, and I'm sure you've thought about it and thrown it around a little bit and tried to figure out what your doctrine is and what you call your doctrine. Well, let me ask you something. You summed it up. You got it in parentheses there and highlighted, and you got it underlined in bold-faced letters in your mind and in your heart. You know what your doctrine is. Okay, do you believe it? Well, one prerequisite to calling something your doctrine, I mean, it has to be believed by the one that's claiming that it's his doctrine. You have to believe it. You say, well, why is that part of it? Well, because there's a bunch of people, and Peter, the Apostle Peter, told us that there's going to be a bunch of deceivers in the world that don't believe what they're saying. That don't believe what they call it their doctrine. They say it's a doctrine. They say it's this, and they say it's that, but they don't believe it. There were many people that followed Jesus and followed him around and learned what he learned and called themselves his disciples. And it said from that point on, they left him and followed him no more. And Jesus asked the other apostles and said, will you go away also? They said, where will we go? You have the words of life. We know and are assured that thou art the Son of God, the Son of the living God. You have to believe your doctrine. You have to believe it. It's something that you believe. Well, you say, what do you mean, brother? Well, in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23 and 24, let's read some of God's word. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Man, that is one of the finest, truest verses in the scriptures when it comes to this world that we live in and us trying to believe things. That man wanted his child to be healed, and he asked the Lord to heal that child. And the Father, the Lord said, if you believe, and that man done all he could do to believe, everything that was in him to believe. He said, Lord, I believe. The only thing that he had in him was to make a choice and cry out with that choice. Lord, I believe. And then he admitted something. Help thou my unbelief. That's the same way we are. I'm glad the Lord put that in there, aren't you? Because that's exactly the way this world is. It tries to rob your belief from you, make you doubt, tries to take everything away from you, and even the apostate Christendom that's going on in this Laodicean era and the end of as we wind this thing down, waiting for Jesus to come. And it's winding down, folks. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Jesus said, you have to believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Okay, and straightway the father cried out. He cried out. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you cry out, if you're willing to say it with your mouth, whoso believeth and confesseth, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's all there is to it. This guy here, now Jesus didn't go back after he said what he said. He said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Jesus didn't rebuke him and say that was not belief. Well, you didn't believe properly because you said, help thou my unbelief. You said that you believed, but you still had unbelief in you. That was one of the truest fellows in the entire Bible. And with all this cockamamie, poppycock garbage that's going on in the world today that tries to make us doubt and tries to take away our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, this man admitted with his mouth and cried out and said, Lord, I believe. And then he admitted his weakness and said, help thou my unbelief. And you know what? That help thou my unbelief, I believe, impressed the Lord because he was saying it from his heart. He said, with everything that's in me, Lord, I believe, but there's something in me that's trying to make me not believe. And I go against that. And he cried out and said with his mouth, Lord, I believe. Believing the Lord and believing your doctrine is very important. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your faith. You're wasting. It's just you got to believe it and believe it on purpose. Believing is not magical. It's not something that just all of a sudden pops in you and there you go. You believe. Light on, light off. Believing is something that you do on purpose. The Lord said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's God's word. You have to believe it. A prerequisite to your doctrine and what you call your doctrine has to be that you believe what you're saying. You cannot claim a doctrine as your own unless you believe it. And that's not all. What else is a prerequisite to your doctrine? Well, it has to be accepted as an authority. Your doctrine has to be involved and stem from your authority, your final authority, who you give the last say to. Who has the last say in your decisions, in your life, in your death, everything? Your doctrine, who has the last say in it? That's your final authority. And one's final authority gets the final say. It has to be accepted as one's authority if you call it your doctrine. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, in John chapter 6 and verse 48 through 51, listen to this. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man will eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It has to be accepted as one's authority. You say that the Lord and the Word of God is your doctrine. Do you believe it? Have you accepted it as your authority? Is Jesus Christ your authority? Is Jesus your life? Is this the bread that you have eaten? It says that the Lord said your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. That faith that they had didn't do them much good. They died. The manna. Okay. But the Lord compared himself to that manna and called himself the bread. He said he was the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Let me ask you something. Are you saved? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, have you confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Have you confessed it with your mouth? Have you said it? Remember the man that cried out? He cried out. And he said it with his mouth, I believe. Have you admitted with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he died, and that he was buried, and that he was resurrected, and you believe that? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you saved? If you've believed and you've confessed, you are. According to God's word, you're saved. You're born again. Okay, well, it has to be accepted as one's authority. Is Jesus Christ your authority? Is God your authority? Is the Godhead, triune Godhead, your authority in your life? Or are you your authority? The final authority, who gets the final say? The Word of God should be the one getting the final say in your life, Christian. What else? John chapter 6, verse 63. Listen to this. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now, we'll pause right there. That what I just read right there is your makeup right now. You are made of flesh and you are made of spirit. And you have a soul. It says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. That's the part of you that lives, that comes alive spiritually when you're born again. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, that makes alive. Quickeneth means makes alive. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now, your doctrine and the things that you have accepted as your authority cannot be according to your flesh and what the flesh wants. It's got to be according to the Spirit that lives in you, God the Holy Ghost, and yielding to His authority and the Word of God. The Bible says it's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, who's speaking here? Jesus. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye go away also? Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Did you hear that? The last thing that we talked about is that you have to believe your doctrine. The second thing that we're talking about, the second truth or prerequisite to one's doctrine, is that you have to accept it as your authority. One's final authority gets the final say. Does Jesus Christ and His Word get the final say in your doctrine and about your doctrine? If the Lord was to tell you something in His Word that goes contrary to what you believe right now, would you change it to your final authority's way of thinking? Yes, you would. Why? Because I believe my final authority and my doctrine, and also I accept it as my authority, and I obey it. One thing this world hates is that word, obey. You say obey, go out there in the middle of a crowd sometime when you're standing in the middle of a big crowd and people just walking to and fro and stuff like that, and put your box down, stand up on it and say, obey! Don't say anything else. Just say, obey, obey, obedience, obey. And watch what happens in expressions. if you don't get your, if you don't get kicked all over the parking lot. Oh my, they hate that word obey. But a prerequisite to your doctrine, brothers and sisters, is that you have to believe it. And another one is that it has to be accepted as your authority, as your final authority. You have to accept it as your final authority, no matter what, whatever the Lord says, period. Period. God is right, and I am wrong if we have differences. That's the way it is. God is always right. If you're going to call God's word and call Jesus Christ your authority, your doctrine, or whatever you call your doctrine, it might be your big toe, but your big toe gets the final say. What else? Well, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 through 49, the Bible says, "And why call ye me Lord? Lord. And do not the things which I say. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not," in other words, you don't obey your authority, you don't really believe that's your doctrine because you don't obey it, "diggeth deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." The Lord's given us a good principle there, that if you say you are light, walk as children of light. If you say this is your doctrine, walk as it is your doctrine. It has to be accepted as one's authority. Now, how do you know something is somebody's authority? Because that person is doing what that authority says. It's obeying its authority. They are obeying. How do I know children obey their mama and daddy? How do I know that mama and daddy get the final say to some children that I'm watching? Because they snap too. They obey. They obey. You cannot claim a doctrine as your final authority unless you are submitted to it. Unless you're submitted to it. This matter of doctrine, see, a prerequisite to doctrine, you can't call something your doctrine if you don't believe it. You can't call something your doctrine if you've not accepted it as your authority. You know, your final authority is one that dishes out your doctrine, if you say you believe it. Some people believe in Buddha. Do they do what Buddha says? They say their doctrine is Buddhism. They say their doctrine is Muhammadism, or however you say that. Well, if he's your final authority, then you will do the doctrine, you will perform the doctrine, you will live the doctrine that he teaches. Remember the first verse that we read that said, "And he taught them many things by parables." This is our Lord, and this is his words. "And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine." Jesus was teaching doctrine. Well, what was he teaching doctrine for, and why did he particularly say the word doctrine? Because he wanted us to know that if you're calling me your final authority, then you will do what I say and do what I deliver unto you as doctrine. You see? What is another prerequisite of one's doctrine that you have to have before you can actually call something your doctrine? Well, It has to be entirely yours and not someone else's for you. It has to be your choice, not somebody else's choice. Remember that ism that we talked about? You put it on the back like Hinduism. The ism before, it turned into ISM, was ISMY. Is my. In other words, Buddhism, Buddha is my. Is my ism. I'm trying to think of some more isms. There's a million of them. I can't think of one of them. But any ism on the back of something, when somebody's claiming it, well, what are you? I'm a Hinduist. I study Hinduism. Hinduism is my. Well, Hindu is my. That's what it used to be, but it's ism now. No, but that's actually what it means. It usually ends with a suffix of ism. Okay? But it has to be entirely yours and not someone else's. You know, I'm not a Christian because you are. I'm a Christian because of my Lord and His Word and what He has done for me and the principles and the truths that He teaches out of His Word is my doctrine. And I serve Him not because you serve Him, even though I'm encouraged because you serve Him, but I serve Him because I choose to serve Him. It has to be your choice. He has to be entirely yours and not someone else's for you. And there's a lot of that goes on in all these theatrical Christendom things in the world now, where people stand up and hoopla and put on this show and that show, and people follow them, and they're going nowhere. They're there to get your money. Yeah. Listen to what the Bible says, John chapter 21. And verse 19 through 22, the Bible says, "Then spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto them, Follow me." He said unto him, follow me, speaking to Peter. Let me reread that so I don't confuse you. I'm sorry. John chapter 21, verse 19 through 22. "Then spake he," Jesus, "signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, he was talking to Peter, he said, Follow me. And he got up and walked off. And Peter got up to follow him. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved," talking about John. John was sitting back over there, and Peter was following Jesus, and Jesus said, "Hey, Lord," because Jesus had it in his mind that the Lord doesn't go anywhere. If the Lord's going to tell somebody to follow him, it would be John first. "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" That was what John said, and he was identifying him. "Then Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus got up, said, "Follow me, Peter." He was walking off. And Peter got up and started following Jesus. And then Peter looked back and seen John there, and I guess he run it through his mind that that was who the Lord loved the most, so he ought to be the one following first before Peter. But he said, "Lord," and the Lord turned around. He said, "What shall this man do?" You know what Jesus' reply was? Jesus said unto him, talking to Peter, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Yeah. You call something your doctrine? You don't follow Jesus Christ and the words of the living God and obey him because somebody else does, even though it's an encouragement And it exhorts us tremendously to see our brothers and sisters walking in the faith. But your doctrine is your doctrine because it's entirely yours and not someone else's for you. Nobody is serving God for you. You are serving Him. Amen? That's good stuff, isn't it? You can't claim a doctrine is yours if you are in somebody else. Or you can't claim a doctrine as yours if you are in somebody else's line following theirs. Your doctrine is your doctrine. It's the doctrine that you've been taught. It's the truth that you believe and are staking and putting your neck on the block for and are privileged to follow. You have to be first in your own line, following yours. Did you get that? Your doctrine is your doctrine. You have to believe it. You have to accept it as your authority. And it has to be entirely yours and not someone else for you. Now, we have a lot of people in line. The Bible says that the way to destruction is great and the way to life is narrow. Now, we have a line that's pretty narrow going where we're going, but that's okay. We still have a line, but you're not going in that direction because of somebody else. You shouldn't be. You're going in that direction because you've chosen that. And that's your doctrine, and the Lord is your Lord, and His doctrine is your doctrine. You see? What else? Well, a prerequisite for you to call something your doctrine is that you should have written proof. If you've got a doctrine and you're following your doctrine and your truth and what you believe to be true and what you believe to be and not to be, and you have a final authority that's given you that doctrine, then he shouldn't mind writing it down for you. And ours did. It's called the Word of God. It's a belief. It's your beliefs. It's a body of teachings, principles, and position in record, written form. You notice everybody that claims to be a leader and everybody that claims to be a final authority leaves their words behind and leaves their doctrine behind. Buddha did. Muhammad did. The others did. Some of the fakes, you know, that people are still following, and but written proof, and we do have written proof. We have the Word of God. God was kind enough to leave us His words that He wanted us to know, and how we should believe and what we should believe, and what we should live by. He kindly gave those to us in written form. In written form. Well, you say, how do you know that's God's word? Well, John, the Lord said it was. And the apostles and John said it was. Now, remember, if it's going to be your doctrine, a prerequisite has to be that you believe it. Do you believe the word of God? Do you believe that Bible is God's words? It's not a, well, it's a, yes or no? Yes, Thurman believes it. I hold in my hands, I got on my desk right here a copy of the living God's words. And they're perfect, and they're exactly how He wants me to read them and wants me to understand them. And they're going to last. It liveth and abideth forever. I believe these words are alive and that they can change somebody and that they can do that, that they can rebuke somebody, they can reprove somebody. I've seen it and it's done it to me. And every time I read God's word, it makes a difference in me and it does something for me. It's not ooh and all that ghostly stuff. It is a living book from a living God with living words in it. It has to be your belief, And it has to be accepted as your authority and has to be entirely yours and not someone else's for you. And it has to be in written form. John chapter 5. Listen to this. John chapter 5 and verse 45 through 47 says, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust." He was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the big shots of that day and the religious folks of that day. And they were claiming Moses was their authority and the Old Testament was their authority, Moses. And Jesus answered that. He said, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses." He says, "Your own Bible accuses you, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me." You say that you have Moses and you believe the Old Testament and believe the Word of God that was there at the time, then you should believe in me, because it spoke of me. "For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Do you have Jesus' words? Yes or no? Yes or no? The Bible says, you know, your Bible does not try to prove to you that it is the Word of God. Your Bible speaks in such a way to where it assumes, I mean, it behaves like the Word of God. It speaks like it is the Word of God. It doesn't give any doubts or ask you any questions or try to get you to make decisions about whether to agree with it or not. It speaks in an assuming way. It speaks in a way that it is. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 10 and 11, listen to this. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar." Now, how do you make God a liar? Here it is. "Because he believeth not the record." That's something written. The record that God gave of his Son. And here's what John is saying. "And this is the record." What's the record? What you're reading right now, right before your face. "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." He's saying, this is the Word of God. This is the record. Do you believe that? That's a prerequisite to calling something your doctrine. If you're going to call the Bible your doctrine, you have to believe it. Do you believe it is the record, the indeed living words of the living God? Yes, you do. At least you should. You know, you cannot claim a doctrine as yours unless you have some sort of writings or text, scriptures, or a record. The Lord was not ashamed to stake claim on the written words, the scriptures. And the first thing a man wants to do when he needs something as proof of authority is put that in writing. The Lord did. He put it in writing and gave you the whole text, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and preserved it and is preserving it. Yeah. Now, who would want you to believe something different than that? That sounds like a God that really gave us his word. The one that preserves it, the one that nails it down, says, "This is my word, and this is the record that God hath given you eternal life. And this life is in his Son." And have men write down in his word, in God's words, in Jesus' words, and write these things down to show you this is the book. This is the record. Who would do that? A wonderful, kind, caring, considerate, sincere Lord and final authority. Now, who would give you over 230 translations that all say different stuff? Would the Lord do that to you? I think not. Not my God. God's not in that, folks. God's not in that. That's confusion. And the Lord is not the what? The Lord is not the author. What is an author? An author is somebody that puts their words in a book. The Lord is not, God is not the author of confusion. You don't read His word and become confused. There might be some things that you can't figure out or get understanding about, but you're not confused about that being the word of God. Right? That's tremendous stuff, isn't it? Praise the Lord. All right, what else is a prerequisite? What have we said so far? We've said that it has to be your belief. It has to be accepted as your authority. It has to be entirely yours and not someone else's for you. It should have written proof. And that's not all. It has to teach and give you knowledge of that to be learned, your doctrine. It can't just call itself your doctrine and call itself your final authority. It has to teach you stuff. There's a lot of folks in the world that say that they have a doctrine and they have this. Well, tell me something about it. Well, there's nothing to it. Man, God tells us all kinds of things. He tells us about creation, where we come from, where we're going, where the places outside of this world is, where the three heavens are. He tells us how the animals got here. He tells us how creation is, how sin came into the world. He tells us about His Son. He tells us about the plan of redemption. He tells us about what would happen if Jesus hadn't to come. I mean, everything that a man needs to know is there. It has to teach and to give you knowledge. And we don't have no problem with that because we're getting it right now, aren't we? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Listen to this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not wrongly dividing it, rightly dividing it. And the more you read that Bible, you're going to find out that it is given to you in divisions. And that division could be in one verse. You could be reading along and then all of a sudden something will change and it'll go entirely to a different thing. I mean, you mess with that Bible, God will mess with your mind. That is a supernatural book from a supernatural God. And it's way smarter than anybody on this planet. And there are people who think that they can correct the Lord and correct His word. Hogwash. What else? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Listen to this. But grow in grace. That's God's will for you. That's your final authority's doctrine to you. Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You cannot have a doctrine and believe it unless you know what it is, what it consists of, and what it stands for. Amen. It has to teach and to give you knowledge and give you understanding of what your final authority is about. All right. You know what I think? I think we're going to stop on that one because we have a few more of these things, prerequisites. But none of them are overbinding. None of them are heavy yokes, are they? It's pretty easy stuff and it's pretty reasonable. I mean, it's reasonable for the Lord to think that if we're calling Him our final authority and His doctrine, our doctrine, that it has to be something we believe. God wants us to believe him. That's not unreasonable, is it? Of course not. Well, another thing is that it has to be accepted as one's authority. I mean, the Lord is not going to think that you believe his doctrine and that you want to accept his doctrine unless you're going to obey him and follow his doctrine, and that he is your authority, indeed, your God, your Lord. That's not unreasonable. It has to be entirely yours and not someone else's. You're not going to stand before the Lord and the Lord call somebody else up there to interpret for you or to stand in for you. It's going to be you, yourself. What did you believe? Remember the fellow that said, "I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief." The Lord did not reprimand him for that, and he did not correct him. He gave him his wish. The man said, "I believe." Everything that was in him that he could muster up, he said, "I believe." Do you think that man knew that Jesus had the power? He believed that Jesus had the power to do it. And Jesus said, "All things are possible if you believe." He said, "Lord, I believe." Did he have proof that Jesus could heal his daughter? No, he did not. He believed it. He made a choice. And he said so. "I believe, Lord." And then to back it up, he said, "Lord, I believe with everything that's in me, but help me. Help thou my unbelief." That's not unreasonable. The Lord blessed him for that. And if you told the truth and I told the truth, when we're saying that we believe God and we believe in his doctrine and we believe his doctrine, we're making a choice. We choose to believe it, and we're putting our faith in that. But we're also saying, "Lord, help thou my unbelief," because that's the way it is. It has to be entirely yours and not someone else's. That's not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable that you should have written proof. Nowadays, it's videos. Got your own video. Ignorant stuff. That's going to ruin everything. That is sure. That's something that's not helping the world. Should have written proof. That's not unreasonable. That the Lord would give us written proof and give it to us and tell us to believe his words. I think it's pretty considerate, don't you? I'm glad the Lord gave us his word that we can get into and read, and what we've read so far tonight, that we've read this morning, that we've read right here on this lesson. We believe God's word. How do we know it's true? How do we have proof? What is our proof text? We just got through reading it. How do we know it's true? Because there, my final authority, my God, has set it down as doctrine, and he wrote it and gave it to me for me to believe, and I can believe it, and I do believe it. And he helps my unbelief. Your doctrine. That's not unreasonable to have written proof. People say, "Well, how do you know that's the Bible?" Well, how do you know it's not? Don't be a fool. The Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And if there's no God, then there's none of his words, right? But they know. That book is like no other book on this planet. That book says things and talks about things that no other book would dare take on and talk about. Should have written proof. That's not unreasonable. And it has to teach and give you knowledge. That's not unreasonable that the Lord would want you to learn his word, to study to show thyself approved. Would you have a final authority that was not interested in you learning about him and learning what he believes and what he thinks and what his is and his is not is? A lot of people that say, and run their holes in their face And they say, they blab out all that nonsense about, well, all the Bible is a bunch of is, thou shalt nots, thou shalts, and thous, and this, and thous, and this. They don't know the first diddly squat about the Word of God. They're just running off at the mouth. Just running off at the mouth. That's all. It has to give you knowledge. That's not unreasonable. That's not unreasonable. And we're going to stop right there. We're going to stop right there. It has to teach and give knowledge. And there are probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 7 more of these prerequisites. And we're going to begin our next study and get in some more of that. We've had a pretty good bit today, haven't we? Amen. Amen. Good stuff. Good stuff. So just to recap quickly, we're talking about the prerequisites for one's doctrine, things that are required as a prior condition for you to call something your doctrine. The study is about doctrine. It has to be your belief. It has to be accepted as your authority. Excuse me. It has to be entirely yours and not someone else's for you. And it should have written proof. And has to teach and give knowledge. Amen? Amen. All right, well, let me give you these scriptures, okay? You ready? I think that I did read all of those to you, the scriptures. Yes, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, and we did read Peter. 2 Peter 3:18 also, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. All right. Well, here we go. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. John chapter 6, verse 48 through 51. John chapter 6, verse 63 through 68. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. John chapter 21, verse 19 through 22. John chapter 5, verse 45 through 47. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. 2 Timothy, excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And the last one for this lesson is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. Or, excuse me, not 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Verse 18. Okay? All right. Well, that's wonderful. What a wonderful package of truths. I love hearing truth. I don't want to hear anything else but truth. This world is so wrapped up in deceit and lies and filth and things that are not true, and people don't know whether to go left or right or up or down and blabbity blab, and it's nothing but confusion. I don't want no part of it. And you shouldn't either. That's why we stay in the Word of God, so it keeps us on the straight and narrow. We don't go off to the right in the ditch or the left in the ditch. We stay right on the path. Right on the path. And we know, and we believe, and we know that we have the right doctrine because we have it in written form from our final authority that liveth and abideth forever. Isn't that true? Isn't that wonderful? And plus, he dwells within us and bears witness of the truth, doesn't he? When we read God's Word, God the Holy Ghost tells you, now that's true. That's the truth. And even when you're not reading the Word of God, when you're walking around in the world, he tells you. He says, now that's truth right there, Thurman. Do you see that? He said, now that right there is false. That's false stuff. He teaches us. He teaches us. And I'm glad only a wonderful Lord would come and indwell us after we're born again and help us along the way, wouldn't he? Hey, you never hear any of those, what are they, Muhammadisms, the ones that follow Muhammad? You never hear of them talking about Muhammad indwelling them. You never hear any Buddhists talking about Buddha indwelling them. You don't hear about that stuff. But if you're a Christian and you believe the Word of God, you can definitely say, God the Holy Ghost dwells in me, God Himself. And He does. And He does. All right, brothers and sisters, y'all have a wonderful evening or morning or whatever it is you're having. And we're going to get back into some more of this stuff and find out some more prerequisites and whether your doctrine is really your doctrine. And I believe it is, because you're here and you're studying. And this stuff is encouraging to us, isn't it? Because we're about the truth. We believe the truth. And that makes all the difference. We have a true God with a true word, with a true doctrine. Amen. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.